إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، I welcome all of you. We continue reading from Al-Mulakhas Al-Fiqhi of our noble Shaykh Al-Doktor Al-Allama Salih Al-Fawzan حفظه الله وغفر له ولوالديه وللمسلمين والمسلمات كتاب الزكاة. Alhamdulillah, tonight, today we began the section of Al-Zakat. I want to draw your attention that these classes in Zakat are going to involve a lot of terminologies, a lot of details. So you have to pay attention. Pay attention from the first class. Because a lot of things are going to be mentioned today, if you don't understand them correctly, you won't be able to understand what follows. There's a lot of terms, you need to know what they mean, because they're going to be used later on in the other classes. So you pay attention, inshaAllah ta'ala. قال الشيخ صالح الفوزان باب في مشروعية الزكاة ومكانتها. This first chapter, there is a quite like 10 chapters in here in this section of Zakat, like 10 chapters. And the first chapter is pertaining to the legislation of Zakat and its virtue. قال اعلموا وفقني الله وإياكم أنه لا بد من معرفة تفاصيل أحكام الزكاة وشروطها. وبيان من تجب عليه ومن تجب له وما تجب فيه من الأموال. The Shaykh says you should know, may Allah grant all of us and you the tawfiq to do that which is right. That a Muslim must know the details of the rulings on zakat. Should know the details of the rulings on zakat, because as I mentioned, there is a lot of details. This is the only way a person will perform zakat in the right way, by knowing the details. And also its conditions. Also a Muslim is required to know those required to pay it, and those for whom it is to be paid. Likewise, the properties from which it is to be paid. So now we're talking about, when you talk about the rulings pertaining to the zakat, it's pertaining to first who required to pay the zakat. Not all Muslims are required to pay the zakat. Not every Muslim pays the zakat. There is a specific group of Muslims who pay the zakat. Likewise, we should know those for whom it is to be paid. You don't give the zakat to anybody. You don't use the zakat money in anything. Now there is a specific groups, and Allah has mentioned them in the ayah 16, Surah At-Tawbah. Sheikh is going to mention them later on. Likewise, the properties from which it is to be paid. نعم. قال فالزكاة أحد أركان الإسلام ومبانيه العظام كما تظاهرت بذلك دلالة الكتاب والسنة، وقد قرنها الله تعالى بالصلاة في كتابه في 82 موضعا مما يدل على عظم شأنها وكمال الاتصال بينها وبين الصلاة ووثاقة الارتباط بينهما، حتى قال صديق هذه الأمة وخليفة الرسول الأول أبو بكر الصديق رضي الله عنه: والله لأقاتلن من فرق بين الصلاة والزكاة. متفق عليه. الزكاة it is one of the pillars of Islam. نعم. Zakat is one of the pillars of Islam. That's why it's very important for us to know its rulings with details. And we study the Zakat. Because it is first one of the pillars of Islam. And it's a great basis. As clearly indicated in the Quran and in the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah, exalted be He, has joined it with performing prayer in His book in 82 positions, in 82 places in the Quran. You know, and, you hear all the taqeemu salah wa atu zakah. Now, whenever the salat is mentioned, you find the zakat is mentioned in 82 places in the Quran, which signifies its great status and the perfection of the connection between it and the prayer. And we know the importance of the prayer. And this is connected to it. That shows its status as well. And shows the great connection that is between the zakat and the prayer. And the firmness of the relation between the two of them. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, who is the trustworthy of this ummah, Siddiqu hadhihi al-ummah, and the first Khalifa of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because after the death of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he became the first Khalifa, the Imam of the believers, and he is one of the four guided Khalifa after the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, and Ali radiallahu anhum. So Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu said in this hadith that is agreed upon by Imam al-Bukhari, wal Imam Muslim on the authority of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, Abu Bakr says, by Allah I will fight those who differentiate between prayer and zakat. By Allah I will fight those who differentiate between the prayer and the zakat. And as I mentioned before, because of the importance of this chapter and also because of the terminology of it, a lot of details, alhamdulillah, I'm reading the translation of, there is a book of Mulakhas al-Fiqhi, has been translated, alhamdulillah, in two volumes. So I'm based my translations from them, because alhamdulillah, when I looked at it, find them, they did a good job trying to be accurate, because these are terminologies, you know, very precise, you have to be very precise. Naam, so jazahumullahu khairan. He wants to mention that. قال الله تعالى وأقيموا الصلاة وآتوا الزكاة واركعوا مع الراكعين, سورة البقرة. سورة البقرة, verse 43, Allah سبحانه وتعالى says, and establish prayer and give zakat. See here, one of the ayats that the salat and the zakat are mentioned together. Also in the ayah 5 in Surah At-Tawbah, قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى فَإِن تَابُوا وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتَوُوا الزَّكَاةَ فَخَلُّوا سَبِيلَهُمْ. But if they should repent, establish prayer, and give zakat, let them go on their way. Let them go. See, once again, the salat and the zakat are mentioned together. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في الحديث المتفق عليه من حديث ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما بني الإسلام على خمس: شهادة أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمد رسول الله وإقام الصلاة وإيتاء الزكاة. الحديث from the proofs also from the sunnah is the hadith of ابن عمر on the authority of ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما, the hadith that is agreed upon by Imam al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim. In that hadith, our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Islam is based or built on the following five principles and pillars. Number one, to testify that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Muhammad is his servant and a messenger. That's the first pillar. The second pillar, to establish the prayer, and then for the third one, to pay the zakat, to give the zakat, to the end of the hadith, which mentioned the last two pillars, which is the fasting in the month of Ramadan and the Hajj. قال الشيخ صالح الفوزان حفظه الله وأجمع المسلمون على فرضيتها. الضمير يعود عن الزكاة على فرضية الزكاة. وأجمع المسلمون على فرضية الزكاة وأنها الركن الثالث من أركان الإسلام، وعلى كفر، يعني وأجمعوا على كفر من جحد وجوبها وقتال من منع إخراجها. شيخ صالح الفوزان حفظه الله he says Muslim scholars have unanimously agreed that zakat is an obligatory act and that it is the third pillar of Islam. So it is an obligatory act of worship. It's not left for the people, whether those who have money to give it or not. It's an obligation. So it's not an option, nor is it a donation. They just take whatever they want. No, it is an obligation, and they have to learn if first they have how much they should give and who give it and the like. And he who denies this is considered a disbeliever, and whoever refrains from giving it is to be fought against. The ruler, the ulama, says the Muslim ruler has the right to fight those who refuse to give the zakat. Because in the Muslim ruler, as the Prophet ﷺ did, and as the Shaykh is going to mention later on, that it is upon the ruler, after sending the people to collect the zakat, if certain people refuse, then the ruler should take it by force, even if he has to fight them. Aynan. The ulama, they says, unless if they have a shoka, if they have a greater strength than the ruler, then they have to look at the masalih and the mafasid, look at what's good and what's aynan. قال الشيخ صالح الفوزان فرضت الزكاة في السنة الثانية للهجرة النبوية وبعث رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم السعاة لقبضها وجبايتها لإيصالها إلى مستحقيها وهذا ثابت باستقراء الأحاديث وقد ثبت مضمونه في عدة أحاديث في الصحيحين وغيرها كما في بعثه صلى الله عليه وسلم عمر بن الخطاب وابن اللتبية وأبي مسعود البدري وسعد بن عبادة وغيرهم رضي الله عنهم أجمعين. The Shaykh حفظه الله says Zakat was enjoined in the second year of Hijrah of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, his migration to Al-Madinah. It was made obligatory, the Zakat, in the second year of the Hijrah, the migration of the Prophet ﷺ from Mecca to Al-Madinah. And the Messenger of Allah ﷺ sent Zakat collectors, people, Sahaba, to collect the Zakat and to receive it from the people in order to deliver it to those who deserve it. And those who deserve it is not like randomly. No, they are mentioned, as I told you, in the Quran. In the Ayah 60, there is 8 categories of people that are mentioned in the Ayah 60 in Surah At-Tawbah. In the footnote, they mention that you find in a hadith in the Bukhari, Sahih al-Bukhari, Sahih al-Muslim, and other than them, for instance, they mention the names of some of the companions who were chosen by the Prophet ﷺ as collectors of zakat, to go and receive the zakat and collect it and bring it back to be given to those who deserve it. From them is Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, ibn al-Latbiyya, Abi Mas'ud al-Badri, and Sa'd ibn Ubadah, and other than them radiallahu anhu majma'in. قال ومضت بذلك سنة الخلفاء الراشدين. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he sent some of the companions to collect the zakat from the people. And we mention some of them, some of their names. The same was done by the rightly guided khalifs and the Muslims after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this zakat was not just in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Once he died, nothing happened. Now the khulafa, they continue to collect the zakat and give it to those it is due for them. And likewise, the Muslims continue to do the same thing after the death of the Khulafa. Now the Shaykh is going to mention some of the virtues of Zakat. Some of the hikmah and wisdom behind the legislation of the Zakat. قَالَ وَفِي الزَّكَاتِ إِحْسَانٌ إِلَى الْخَلْقِ وَفِي الزَّكَاتِ إِحْسَانٌ إِلَى الْخَلْقِ وَهِيَ طُهْرَةٌ لِلْمَالِ مِنَ الدَّنَسِ وَحَصَانَةٌ لَهُ مِنَ الْآفَاتِ وَعُبُودِيَةٌ لِلْرَبِّ سُبْحَانَهُ. قال الله تعالى خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُطَهِّرُهُمْ وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ بِهَا وَصَلِّ عَلَيْهِمْ إِنَّ صَلَاتَكَ سَكَنٌ لَهُمْ وَاللَّهُ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ. سورة التوبة. ومن ثم فهي تطهير للنفوس من الشح والبخل وامتحان, أي الزكاة يعني امتحان للغني حيث يتقرب إلى الله بإخراج شيء من ماله المحبوب إليه. And the Shaykh says that after he mentioned that the zakat was enjoined at the second year of the Hijrah, the Prophet ﷺ sent some of the companions to collect it to be given to those who deserve it, and that the Khulafa al-Rashidun continue on the same path after the Prophet ﷺ, so is the Muslims after them. Now he's going to mention some of the virtues of the zakat and the wisdom behind the legislation of the zakat. So he says, paying the zakat is an act of benevolence towards the people, especially those who are, they mention in the Quran, to deserve the needy and the poor and the like. Also, it is a means of purifying the property from defilement. And also, zakat is a protection against destruction. And it is a worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once again, I repeat that paying the zakat is an act of benevolence, is a kind act towards the needy. Naam, because Islam is a beautiful religion. It is an act of goodness and benevolence towards the people. It is also the zakat, a means of purifying the property from defilement. And also it is a protection against destruction, and ruin and destruction of that property. And it is a worship, an act of worship, is ibadah. It is a worship, عبودية لله للرب سبحانه وتعالى, a worship for Allah, a worship of the Lord, exalted be He سبحانه وتعالى. As Allah سبحانه وتعالى said in Surah At-Tawbah, verse 103, take, and Allah is addressing the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, take, O Muhammad ﷺ, from their wealth a charity by which you purify them and cause them increase, and invoke Allah's blessings upon them. Indeed, your invocations are reassurance for them, and Allah is the hearing, the all-knowing. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wallahu sami'un عليم. قال الشيخ صالح حفظه الله. So hence the zakat purifies the souls from stinginess, and greed. And it is also a trial to the rich person. It's a test from Allah. Allah tests the rich. Because you know, wealth is beloved to the people. So therefore, it is a test. Zakat is a test for the rich person. Since he approaches Allah by giving some of his property that he likes and loves. It's not easy, people to give their money or to give their animals away and some of their property. That's why it is a test. That's why it is a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَقَدْ أَوْجَبَهَا اللَّهُ فِي الْأَمْوَالِ الَّتِي تَحْتَمِلُ الْمُوَاسَاتِ. As I mentioned, pay close attention take notes if you want. But alhamdulillah, the book is available. You go home, review it. It's because there's a lot of terminologies and a lot of details in zakat. قال وقد أوجبها الله في الأموال التي تحتمل المواساة ويكثر فيها النمو والربح. أي يقول الشيخ حفظه الله أي ما ينمو فيها بنفسه كالماشية والحرث. الماشية يعني الحيوانات والحرث وما ينمو بالتصرف وإدارته في التجارة كالذهب والفضة وعروض التجارة. He said Allah has enjoined zakat on the property that can provide sustenance to others. You see? Because zakat is not obligatory upon everything you own. Okay? There is a special, you know, properties and wealth. He said Allah enjoined zakat on the property that can provide sustenance to others and which multiplies and incurs much profit. Once again, the Shaykh says, Allah has enjoined zakat on the property that can provide sustenance to others and which multiplies and incurs much profit. And the Shaykh, after he mentioned this phrase, he explained it. He says, i.e., that which spontaneously multiplies as cattle. They multiply. You have 3 cows, then mashallah, in a couple of years you have more. Tayyib. And harvest as well. And which multiplies by investment. And also those properties that multiplies by investment and management like gold, silver, and trading commodities. Okay? So, we explain some of the properties. Person, like cattle and harvest, mashallah, it's a ni'mah from Allah and the blessing of Allah. Person take care of them and they give them, mashallah, they multiply. But then there is other type of wealth. A person has to invest. They multiply by investment, like gold, silver, and urud al-tijara, trading commodities, whether it be clothing or whether it be other than that. Everything is good so far?
No.
You're with me, right? Tayyib, no.
Is land too? Like land?
No, land too. If a person have land for business or something, yes, it is considered from that. But land for person, for himself, he want to build a house on it, for him, la. It's going to come later on. For example, if houses that you live in, horses that you use for yourself, cars that you use, no zakat on them. No. قال وجعل الله سبحانه وتعالى قدر المخرج في الزكاة على حسب التعب في المال الذي تخرج منه فأوجب في الركاز وهو ما وجد من أموال الجاهلية الخمس وما فيه التعب من طرف واحد وهو ما سقي بلا مؤنة نصف الخمس وما وجد فيه التعب من طرفين ربع الخمس وفيما يكثر فيه التعب والتقلب كالنقود وعروض التجارة ثمن الخمس. Now the Shaykh is going to mention how much a person give from his property and from his wealth. And this percentage, you know, to give 10% or 5 or 2.5 or the like, this is according to how much effort person exerts, you know, to so that property grow. Okay? So it takes in consideration the effort that is put forth while having that property. The Sheikh, he explains, he says, moreover, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordained the amount of zakat, the amount, how much a person gives. It is not like up to a person, just go and like, oh, I'm going to be generous. No, you need to know how much. Because a person may think he's generous and still didn't give, still fall short. It's not like just go grab something and say, hey. No. Some people, they have a lot of wealth. They may, who knows, maybe their zakat is a million or two. You see? But if this person go grab like $100,000, and like he thinks like that's a lot. But he's still way short, because when he, if he do the math, he find himself that he's no way close. That's why you need to know these things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordained the amount of zakat according to the effort exerted in the property from which it is paid. From which it is paid. Sheikh, he gives details now. He says, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enjoined one fifth from the value of rikaz. This term rikaz, it is where it is the buried wealth. The world that is under the ground, they find it. From the wealth of the people of Jahiliyyah, people find wealth buried, there is zakat on it. It's one fifth. Okay? It's one fifth. However, Allah enjoined one tenth now, half of that. One tenth to be paid as zakat on the property which needs more effort, because that one didn't mean no effort. Sometimes a person be digging for whatever, I don't know, they find jewelry and gold and money and silver. But now Allah enjoined one tenth to be paid, so this is less now. In rikaz is one fifth. Now it's less because there is some effort. You see? Allah enjoined one tenth to be paid as zakat on the property which needs more effort, such as the land, water, without exerting too much effort. Okay, so a person bring water from a river or the like, that's an effort. There is an effort in place. Moreover, in properties that need much effort, 1/20, like 5%, 1/20, is to be given as zakat. In addition, for what involves much effort and difficulty, as in money, for example, you know, and trading commodities, 1/40 is to be paid. How much is that? 2.5%. 1/40. That's the half of 1/20. So it's 2.5%. So if a person, mashallah, is doing this, he needs to know this thing. How much he pay? Some people think it's always 2.5%. Very wrong. Some people, how much is zakat? 2.5. That's it? No, there is 5% too, and there is 10%. Mina, according to what you have, and according to how much effort you have put into that. You see? That's why Allah says, ask the people of knowledge if you don't know. He didn't say, turn to the people around you. قال الشيخ صالح الفوزان حفظه الله وقد سماها الله بالزكاة لأنها تزكي النفس والمال سمى الله الزكاة زكاة لأنها تزكي النفس والمال فهي ليست غرامة ولا ضريبة تنقص المال وتضر صاحبه بل هي على العكس تزيد المال نموا من حيث لا يشعر الناس قال صلى الله عليه وسلم ما نقص مال من صدقة ما نقص مال من صدقة And the Shaykh, he says, Hafidhahullah, giving us the reason why Allah called the zakat, zakat. Because it's from purification. Allah called zakat by that name, as this word in Arabic means purifying the soul and the money. It's a purification. Because that zakat, when a person gives the zakat, it is a purification for both, for his soul and for his wealth. And that's tremendous benefit. It is not a fine. Some people think like it's a fine. Zakat is not a fine. And it's not a tax. It's not a tax. So Uncle Sam is not involved in this way. So it's not a fine nor a tax that reduces the property and harms its owner. Contrarily, it makes the property grow more. But just people don't know that. Those who pay the zakat, it purifies themselves and their money, and Allah make their world grow. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ma naqasa malun min sadaqa." The world does not decrease out of giving it, of giving in charity. Doesn't decrease. So that math of like, man, if I give, I'm going to only have this. He didn't have nothing before. So who gave you all that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah wants you to give a little bit of it, not for him, but for your brothers and your sisters and your family and your community. And Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahu wa ta'ala mentioned some of the hikam. Let's mention some of them, not a lot. He says, paying the zakat has so many benefits, and from them is a social benefit on the society. It will bring peace and harmony and unity between the people, especially the rich and the poor. How is that? He says, because when the rich pay their zakat, the poor, they love them. Because remember, zakat, we're talking about zakat here, we're not talking about giving $20 and that's it, here's my zakat. No, the zakat is collected by the ruler from the rich people in the area. So a lot of money, alhamdulillah, is involved. And they looked at the poor and they give them all what they need for 1 year. That's the zakat. They give them all, like if they have rent, they pay their rent for 1 year. They give them enough money, food for a whole year, and enough money for clothing for a whole year, and everything they need. That's the zakat. So those poor people, they really, mashallah, alhamdulillah, they pay the debts. Somebody has a debt, doesn't matter how, here it is, bismillah, no more debts. Somebody's stranded somewhere, you don't have to beg people. Now he go to the Muslim ruler and he take from zakat. You see? So now he says, those poor people, they love, you know, and respect the rich ones who pay the zakat. And they make dua for them. May Allah increase you in wealth, because the zakat will increase too. And they don't, and the rich people, they don't have to worry about the poor stealing their property. You see? They live in peace. Why would a person go and steal something and get himself in trouble? Get his hands cut off? Okay? So you have to wait. The ruler is going to take care of it. So they live in comfort, unity, harmony. Sheikh Radimi says, but if it's not the case, you bring chaos. Now the poor, the out of arrogance, the rich are not giving the zakat, which make the poor have so many questions, why they are not paying the zakat. And some of them, they may even take it on their hands, upon themselves, to get it. That's for the ruler to get it. And then, by the way of stealing it, or trying to take it by force, which those people don't even want to give it willingly. You think they're going to give it when somebody break in? So they may, a lot of things happen. A lot of chaos, people, it may result in loss of lives, and many, many other things. And the society live in fear, especially the rich people. Now they have to hire, I don't know what, they have to spend a lot of money to protect their world. They cannot go to sleep. Them and their families, they live in fear. Look at Islam. You give a little bit. For who? For your brothers. Not for the rich people. Not for the government that I don't know what they're going to do with it. No, it is to be given to those people that your people that you see in the street. Ain't it? And they will respect you, and they will respect the rich, and make dua for them, and the like. Alhamdulillah. قال الشيخ صالح حفظه الله والزكاة في الشرع حق واجب في مال خاص. نعم. He says now والزكاة في الشرع. What is زكاة in the terminology of the legislation? He's going to give us definition. What it means زكاة. قال هي حق واجب في مال خاص. ليس كل المال في مال خاص لطائفة مخصوصة. في وقت مخصوص وهو تمام الحول في الماشية والنقود وعروض التجارة وعند اشتداد الحب وبدو الصلاح والثمار في الثمار وحصول ما تجب فيه من العسل واستخراج ما تجب فيه من المعادن وغروب الشمس ليلة العيد في زكاة الفطر. You understood something? Oh, I'm going to mention. Remember, Nuruddin? No. We used to read a sentence and say what you get from it. Who knows the answer, the translation, or we can work together at least remember what words you remember or you know from this. Now, قال والزكاة في الشرع حق واجب.
It's the mandatory right.
أحسنت. حق واجب. في مال خاص.
The wealth of خاص means
specific type of wealth.
Yes.
طيب. أنت أسكت ناس. من فضلك. لطائفة مخصوصة. أحسنت. طائفة مخصوصة. في وقت مخصوص.
In a specific time.
أحسنت. أي نعم. See, that's good. Huh? أي نعم. ما شاء الله. طيب. The Sheikh says now, zakat according to the Sharia, Islamic law, is a rightful obligation on a special property for a particular group of people to be paid at a particular time, specific time. That's what it is. So zakat is an obligation, is a right. Not by choice, give it or not. It's an obligation. But also for a specific wealth, particular wealth or property, and is not to be given to anybody. No, for a specific group of people in a specific time as well. And he mentioned now the time when zakat is to be paid is for the cattle, for money, for honey, for grains and fruits and the like. When a complete year passes with regard to cattle, like cows, sheep, goats, and camels, okay, livestock, with regards to cattle, money and trading commodities, 1 year has to go to pass. Not every 6 months, not every 3 months, 1 year. When grains become, as for grains, it says, when grains become hard, you have grains, wheat, barley, oats, when they become hard. And the signs indicating ripeness appear with regard to fruits. Likewise. The ripeness, when they're ripe.
When they become hard, meaning texture?
The grains, yeah, when they become hard, yes.
Okay.
Nah. Meaning they dry out and they're ready for harvest. Okay? That's when you give the zakat from them. How much? That we're going to learn that later on. How much you should have from grains, from barley, for example, to give the zakat. Okay? It's going to come later on, inshallah. With regard to honey, also asal, honey, zakat is to be paid when it reaches the amount liable for zakat. Okay? Likewise, the mining of minerals, you know, in the mines, the mining of minerals upon which zakat is to be paid with regard to minerals. That's in details too. And concerning zakat al-fitr too, there is zakat al-fitr. And we know that one from before, that zakat al-fitr, is due with a certain detail, as we learn, mashallah, whenever Ramadan approaches, we talk about that. It's become obligatory at the sunset of that night before the Eid, and to be given before the Eid prayer.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
ثم قال الشيخ حفظه الله وتجب الزكاة على المسلم إذا توفرت فيه شروط خمسة. A Muslim must give zakat if he or she meets five conditions. إحداهما يعني الشرط الأول الحرية فلا تجب على مملوك لأنه لا مال له وما بيده ملك لسيده فتكون زكاته على السيد. Number one, the first condition, being a free person. Zakat is not imposed on a slave because he possesses no property. And what is in his hand belongs to his master. Therefore, his master is the one who must pay his zakat. الشرط الثاني أن يكون صاحب المال مسلما. فلا تجب على كافر بحيث لا يطالب بأدائها. لأنها قربة وطاعة. والكافر ليس من أهل القربة والطاعة. ولأنها تحتاج إلى نية ولا تتأتى من الكافر. The second condition, being a Muslim. The second condition is that the owner of the property must be a Muslim, as zakat is not imposed on a disbeliever. A disbelieving person is not asked to pay the zakat, because it is an act of that gets you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as well as an act of showing obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the disbeliever is not among those people close and obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It also needs intention to pay it. You have a good intention, which is impossible to arise from a disbeliever. ثم قال الشيخ أما وجوبه على الكافر بمعنى أنه مخاطب بها ويعاقب عليها في الآخرة عقابا خاصا فمحل خلاف بين أهل العلم وفي حديث معاذ رضي الله عنه فادعوهم إلى شهادة أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ثم ذكر الصلاة ثم قال فإنهم أطاعوك فأعلمهم أن الله افترض عليهم صدقة تؤخذ من أغنيائهم فترد على فقرائهم متفق عليه فجعل الإسلام شرطا لوجوب الزكاة. He says, whether it is to be imposed on the disbeliever or not, and whether he is to be punished particularly in the hereafter for not paying it or not, it is a difference of opinions among the scholars. The issue of ikhtilaf. Then the Shaykh says, furthermore, in the hadith of Mu'ad radiallahu anhu, when the Prophet ﷺ sent him to Yemen, and he said to him, invite the people to testify that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah, and that he is the messenger of Allah. That the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ is the messenger of Allah. And then until the Prophet ﷺ mentioned the Salat, and he said, if they obey you to do so, then tell them that Allah has made it obligatory for them to pay zakat from their property, and it is to be taken from the wealthy among them and given to the poor. This is related, highly related by Imam al-Bukhari, Imam Muslim, rahimahumullah. Thus the Prophet ﷺ made the conversion to Islam a prerequisite for the obligation of zakat. Because, فَإِنْهُمْ أَطَاعُوا. If they accept tawheed, the salat. They do salat, the zakat. الشرط الثالث امتلاك نصاب. فلا تجب فيما دون النصاب وهو قدر معلوم من المال يأتي تفصيله سواء كان مالك النصاب كبيرا أو صغيرا عاقلا أو مجنونا لعموم الأدلة. The third condition, having the nisab. And this nisab is going to come later on. The Sheikh is going to explain. That's one of the terms that you have to remember. It's a very important term in zakat. Having the nisab. So this is the third condition, is the possession of the nisab. So therefore, no zakat is due upon what is less than the nisab. And it does not make any difference whether the possessor, this nisab, the Sheikh is going to talk about it later on in another chapter. And briefly, is a minimum that wealth has to reach. For example, 40 in sheep. If a person have less than that, they don't pay no zakat, okay? Tayyib. And likewise in gold and silver, there is some weight that they have. It's not like anybody who has some ring or hair, that bracelet, have to give the zakat. So it does not make any difference, and it does not make, look, this once the zakat, once the property reached the nisab, zakat has to be given. And it does not make any difference whether the possessor of the nisab is old or young. Doesn't matter. There's no age in here factor. Sane or insane. Person, whether he's sane or sane, have that wealth, okay? As the legal proofs pertaining to this are general. Okay? They are general and applies on everybody. الشرط الرابع, the fourth condition, استقرار الملكية. ماذا يعني هذا؟ يقول الشيخ بأن لا يتعلق بها حق غيره فلا زكاة في مال لم تستقر ملكيته كدين الكتابة لأن المكاتب يملك تعجيز نفسه ويمتنع من الأداء. The fourth condition being an established owner of the property. The person who is obliged to pay the zakat, he's supposed to be the owner of that property. So the ownership of the property must be settled so that none lays claim to it. Thereupon, no zakat is due upon a property whose ownership is not established. For example, somebody have the intention to buy a piece of land for business or whatever. Okay? But he put down payment and nothing done, so that person doesn't pay no zakat, because the property is not his. When he owns it, then, and of course with the nisab, see? With the nisab too. 1 year has to go by and the like, as we're going to learn in the upcoming chapters. The Sheikh, he mentioned an example, such as the debt of imukatab. Imukatab is a person... Imukatab is a slave who has concluded a contract with his or her master to pay him or her ransom for his freedom. Who gave me a companion who did this?
Abu Bakr did for Bilal. Oh, no.
Huh? Ahsan, Salman al-Farisi. قال له رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كاتب يا بلال يا سلمان. Okay, Salman al-Farisi, رضي الله عنه, he is an example because he was a slave in Medina to a Jew. And for years, he's still a slave. And finally, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said to him, كاتب, try to conclude a in contract settlement with your master, see how much you want. So he told him, you're going to like plant this much of palm trees or date palm trees and this amount of gold. So the Prophet ﷺ, he says to the companions, help your brother. So the companions, they began to bring the dates, the little baby date trees. But the Prophet ﷺ, when they gather all of them, Prophet ﷺ, he says, go dig, because you have to dig and put them in. He said, but don't do it, let me do it. So the Prophet ﷺ, he planted them by his hand. So Salman says, by Allah, none of them die. Because usually when do that, some trees die out. Okay? He said, none of them, alhamdulillah. And also, then Salman says, alhamdulillah, no, I did this. What is left for him is the gold. So as days go by, once the Prophet ﷺ was brought like an egg, the amount of egg of gold. And he says, where is Salman? He said, take this, it will pay for you. He said, it's small. He said, Allah will take care of you. So he went, mashallah, and they weighed it, and it was what the Jew has requested and asked for. And alhamdulillah. Tayyib. الشرط الخامس مضي الحول على المال لحديث عائشة رضي الله عنها لا زكاة في مال حتى يحول عليه الحول رواه ابن ماجة وروى الترمذي معناه وصحيح صححه الألباني في صحيح ابن ماجة. The fifth condition, the elapse of a full lunar year on the property. Okay, so this is the fifth condition, is that a year must lapse on the property. Owing to the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, that the Prophet ﷺ says, no zakat is to be taken from a property until a year passes on it. And that's the lunar year, not the other year, okay? Meaning the Hijri calendar, months and a year. It's related by Imam al-Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah al-Tirmidhi, a meaning similar, but similar meaning. Imam al-Albani rahmatullahi ta'ala graded it sahih in Sahih ibn Majah. قال الشيخ صالح الفوزان حفظه الله وهذا في غير الخارج من الأرض كالحبوب والثمار فأما الخارج يعني الحول فأما الخارج من الأرض فتجب فيه الزكاة عند وجوده فلا يعتبر فيه الحول وإنما يبقى تمام الحول مشترطا في النقود والماشية وعروض التجارة رفقا بالمالك ليتكامل النماء فيها. This is concerning what does not issue from the land and as grains and fruits. Okay? So however, as for what is produced from the land, zakat is essential upon it whenever it exists. whenever it is ready. Okay? Thus, the lapse of a year irrelevant for it. The grains, you know, until now, once they are harvested. Whereas the completion of a year remains stipulated with regard to money, cattle, and trading commodities as a kind of leniency toward the owner in order that the property can grow. You see? So that the property can grow. And this is from Mahasin al-Islam, from the beauty of this deen of al-Islam. قال الشيخ صالح الفوزان حفظه الله ونتاج البهائم التي تجب فيها الزكاة وربح التجارة حولهما حول أصلهما فلا يشترط أن يأتي عليهما حول مستقل إذا كان أصلهما قد بلغ النصاب فإن لم يكن كذلك ابتدأ الحول من تمامهما النصاب. This is the details I wanted to pay attention to. Okay, he says, as for the offspring of cattle liable to zakat, meaning the cattle that is liable to zakat, but these cows, they give babies, for example. So how you pay the zakat? On these babies or on what? He says, as for the offspring of cattle liable to zakat, and the profit gained in trade, and also the profit gained in trade, the lapse of the year is to be counted with regard to the original capital. You see? The lapse of the year is to be counted with regard to the original capital. Thus, it is not necessary that a complete year passes on the offspring of cattle, or the profit of their original capital has reached the nisab. If it has not, the year is to be estimated from the time they complete the nisab. Okay, it has to be estimated from the year they complete the nisab. Which brings me share with you something that a question we asked our noble Sheikh Ubayd Hafidullah Al-Jabri a long time ago, as related to those people who they have money but they don't have a specific amount of money. It's not like someone has $100,000 sitting and 1 year go by. This is the case of a person who, a regular person, he works, but mashallah, this year he has an extra 500 this month from his paycheck, the next paycheck, an extra 700, the third paycheck, he has 300 extra, but he needed 600 to fix his car. So this is the case of a person that he's saving, but he's putting more every paycheck, and also taking away from it. How this person pays the zakat? The Sheikh, he says, this person, if this is his case, he will choose one day in a year. One day, what is it? The first of Muharram, first of Ramadan, the Eid al-Adha, the ninth of Arafat, the ninth of Dhul-Hijjah. Whatever the case, he chooses that day. When that day comes, he will see how much money he in his savings. How much is he saving? If he reached the nisab, then he pays the zakat. Okay? Because now he's going to say, look, oh, the nisab, this money here on Muharram, but this money on December, this money, I don't know, on Jumad al-Ula. He says, just choose one day, a year, whenever that day come, that's 1 year go by, he goes and see how much in his savings. And when you say savings, we're not talking about the bank account saving, talking about the man savings, okay? As the bank is haram, and you don't know saving in accounts, because I was told that those saving accounts, they accumulate interest. However, I heard that maybe there is a bank somewhere, I don't know, maybe West Fargo or something. They know Muslims deal with them, and they don't. They give them the option whether to accumulate. Huh?
It doesn't have to have interest.
In every bank?
You can write a letter or something.
Oh, yeah? Okay. And that make them happy. They don't have to give you money, right? I know. All right? So the Sheikh, he says, all what that person do, choose a day in the year, and whenever that day comes, that person check his savings, and if the amount rise to the nisab, then they pay the zakat, 2.5%. If it's not equal, or more than the nisab, then there is no zakat. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam taslima kathira.